Lucky. Thank God, Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. नमो विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेषाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम द 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 85 वर्सेस 34 थ्रू 37 एंड सो दैट इज 1 2 3 4 लॉट्स ऑफ वर्सेस टुडे मे बी वी स्किप द रिस्पॉन्सिव चैंटिंग एंड जस्ट Chant together. Rishir vacha evam sanchoditau matra Rama Krishnascha Bharata Sutalam sandibhishatu Yogamayam upashritau The sage Shukadev said, Thus entreated by their mother, O Bharata, Balarama and Krishna employed their mystic Yogamaya potency and entered the region of Sutala. Text 35 Tasmin pravashtavupalabhya daityara Vishvatma devam sutaram tathatmana Tattarshanallada praliplutashvayah Satya Samuthayanam Sanvayaha. When the king of the Daityas, Bali Maharaj, noticed the arrival of the two lords, his heart overflowed with joy since he knew them to be the supreme soul and worshipable deity of the entire universe, and especially of himself. He immediately stood up and then bowed down to offer respects along with his entire entourage. Text 36 Tayo samani varasanam va niveshtayostatra mahatmanostayo Dadhara pagava avanijya pajyavam Savinda abrahma punadhyabandhava Bali took pleasure in offering them elevated seats. After they sat down, He washed the feet of the two supreme personalities. Then he took that water, which purifies the whole world, even up to Lord Brahma, and poured it upon himself and his followers. Text 37 Sanghayama satau vibhutibhi maharva vastrabharanam lepame tandula deepa amrita bhakshanadibhi He worshipped them with all the riches at his disposal, priceless clothing, ornaments, fragrant sandalwood paste, betel nut, lamps, sumptuous food, and so on. Thus he offered them all his family's wealth and also his own self. Purport. Bali Maharaj's devotional attitude is renowned as the perfect example of complete self-surrender. When Lord Vishnu, in the guise of a young Brahmana student, approached him for charity, Bali offered all he possessed. And when he had nothing more to offer, He surrendered himself as the Supreme Lord's eternal servant. There are 9 standard processes of devotional service. And the last, Atma Samarpanam, as taught by Bali Daityaraj, is the culmination toward which every endeavor should aim. If one tries to impress the Lord with wealth, power, intelligence and so on, but fails to humbly understand oneself to be his servant, one's so-called devotion is only a presumptuous show. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vancha Kalpitrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So I was studying this last night and I came upon some interesting, what I would call discoveries for myself. I was reading Krishna book, going back and forth between the Bali Maharaj pastime and this pastime, and I couldn't believe what I found. And so I thought I would share that with you. Sure, most of the Vaishnavas here know about this already, but for me, these were discoveries. So I was thinking about what I discovered, and it brought home to me the fact that our philosophy says we are not the body, we are the soul. And the other thing that our philosophy says, which is unique, because we distinguish between the body and the soul, but the other unique thing about our philosophy is that this soul eternally exists. There was never a time that the soul came into being, and never a time when it will stop existing. So the soul has gone through different, each of us souls, have gone through different lives in the past, and hopefully this is our last life. But if not, we might go through future lives. So this pastime brought that point home to me. So that's why I prepared today's PowerPoint presentation in 2 halves. One where I'll illustrate this point based on this pastime, and the second where we'll examine Atma Nivedanam. Atma Nivedanam is the, or Atma Samarpanam as it's called here. You know that's the 9th process of devotional service, exemplified by Bali Maharaj. So we'll examine what this means. What this means. Can we go to the slideshow, Prabhu? I think Sunil could show you. And this is not the first slide. It's animated, as you can see, so don't give my thunder away. It's too late. So that's the first slide. Okay, is that the first slide? Can you click? Okay. So the pastime today deals with Devaki. This, what's happening here is Krishna and Balaram are responding to Devaki's request. As we know, Devaki is Krishna's mother. And her 6 sons were killed by Kamsa. And when Devaki and Vasudeva both come to know about Krishna's position, as revealed by the sages, in what went on before, for some reason Devaki now has this deep desire to see her 6 dead sons again. And so she says, you, Krishna, are the Supreme Lord, so you can do anything. So bring back my 6 sons. So that's Devaki. We're going to start with Devaki. Devaki actually is also Aditi. So in a previous, like I was saying, the soul, in a previous life, Devaki was Aditi. Aditi is the wife of Kashyapa Muni and the mother of the demigods. And before that, she was, next, Prishni. In a previous life, in a still previous life, she was Prishni. Okay, click. Vasudev is Devaki's husband. But Vasudev in his previous life was, click, Kashyapa. And in even previous life, I don't know how to say this, need a new vocabulary here, was Sutapa. So Vasudev is actually Sutapa, then he became Kashyapa, and now he is Vasudev. I got all of this from Krishna book. Prabhupada mentions all of these things, Krishna book. Now, hold on, don't click till I tell you to. Sorry, but you have to navigate, because I don't have the PowerPoint here. So now, Vasudev and Devaki's son is Krishna. Click now. And next is Vamanadev. Krishna is Vamanadev when he takes birth from Aditi and Kashyapa. And he is next Krishnigarbha, that's his name, when he takes birth from Krishni and Sutapa. So this is some background, okay? Let's keep going. Next. Now we're going to look at Bali Maharaj. That's the discussion going on now. So what is Bali Maharaj's lineage? Starts from Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is the demon, the famous demon, correct? His son is? Next. Prahlad Maharaj. Who is Prahlad Maharaj's son? Next. Wow, these people are scholars. Virochana. And who is Virochana's son? Bali Maharaj. Did you look at the slide before perhaps? Yes. Okay, so Hiranyakashipu's son is Prahlad, Prahlad's son is Virochana, and Virochana's son is Bali Maharaj. There is a point to doing all of this, you'll see. And let's go to the next slide. Now, Devaki's dead sons, the six dead sons that she wants back, are currently with Bali Maharaj, were then on the planet of Sutala. Sutala is a lower planet. There are 14 planetary systems. Sutala is a lower planet where mode of ignorance dominates. So Bali Maharaj is there and Devaki's sons are there. After death, after Kamsa killed them, they were taken there to Sutala and they are now under Bali Maharaj's control. Let's go. These same dead sons were actually Kalanemi's sons from a previous life. Wow. Now who is Kalanemi? Kalanemi is a demon who actually fought under Bali Maharaj. When the demons and the devatas were fighting, the demons and demigods. And Bali Maharaj was the commander-in-chief of the army of the demons. And Kalanemi fought under him. He was, and he was killed in that battle. Who killed him? Lord Vishnu. So Lord Vishnu himself came because the demons were gaining the upper hand and he came on Garuda and he personally killed Kalanemi. Now these dead sons were Kalanemi's sons in a previous life. So this is, you know, they say fact is stranger than fiction. This will get stranger. So the six sons were Kalanemi's sons, but before that they were next Hiranyakashipu's sons. So Devaki's sons used to be in a previous life Hiranyakashipu's sons, then they were in a previous life Kalanemi's sons, and now they took birth from Devaki and now they are with Bali Maharaj. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Oh, actually, yeah, before that, originally, if you could say, in the material world, they were Marichi's sons. Marichi is one of the Prajapatis appointed by Lord Brahma for populating the universe. Okay, so the same six sons are, we are tracing their lineage here. Go to the next slide. Now, Kalanemi is Kamsa. That's why things get strange. So Kalanemi is Kamsa in the next life. And so Kamsa killed six kids who were actually his sons from a previous life. Tells you the dangers of thinking you are the body, because the people you think are your enemies were actually your relatives in a previous life. And the people you think are your relatives today may be the enemies in the next life. Interesting. So that, and now here it's where it gets even more strange. These six sons who were killed by Kamsa are now under the control of his former military commander, Bali Maharaj. Okay, so there is one more layer of connection there. And then the third point is that all these sons in a previous life are Bali Maharaj's grandfathers. Because they were Hiranyakashipu's sons. So Hiranyakashipu's sons would be Prahlad Maharaj's, you know, cousins or brothers, as the case may be. And then from Prahlad came Virochan, from Virochan came Bali Maharaj. So these, Bali Maharaj is guarding his previous grandfathers who were killed by his former military commander. Okay, let's go next. The last strange thing here, some more strange points. I shouldn't call them strange, unusual, transcendentally unusual. As Aditi in a previous life, Devaki actually caused Lord Vamandev to appear. And Lord Vamandev then banished Bali Maharaj to Sutala. Why? To protect her demigod sons. The demigods were terrorized by Bali Maharaj and they hid. They were in hiding for many, 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 many years. And so Aditi became extremely frustrated with this situation. So she approached Kashyapa Muni, who advised her to do the Payavrata, which is a type of austerity to please Lord Vishnu. And when Lord Vishnu was pleased, he appeared as Lord Vamandev. And then he, in the famous pastime, tricked Bali Maharaj, put his head on Bali Maharaj's, his feet on Bali Maharaj's head, and then pleased with him, he gave him a position in Sutava. So Bali Maharaj became banished to protect Devaki's sons, actually, from a previous life, Aditi's sons, the demigods. Next. Now in her current life, Bali Maharaj is now taking care of her sons who are dead, who were killed by Kamsa. And Devaki is requesting Krishna to rescue them from Bali Maharaj. So in the first case, she was requesting Krishna to protect her sons from Bali Maharaj. But now she is requesting to rescue them. I don't know what transcendental connections or logic is there, but I couldn't help noticing these connections. Let's go next. And the final thing is, in effect, she is requesting Krishna to rescue Kamsa's former sons and Hiranyakashipu's former sons from his great-grandson. So this is the intricate way in which our previous and past and current and former future lives are inextricably connected together. So what is the point of liking or disliking people? What is the point? It's all ignorance. Na abhinandati na dveshti tasya prajna pratishthita. In the second chapter, Krishna says, na abhinandati, does not praise too much. Na dveshti, does not dislike too much. Tasya prajna pratishthita. He is fixed because once we get this jnana that we are the soul, not the body, if we live in that jnana, then we become neutral towards the things of this world. I have an uncle who is an intellectual and he's very opposed to a certain religion in this world. I won't say which one. No prizes for guessing. So, and he has researched all the spiritual books, religious books, and he keeps quoting from these books to establish his point. See, these religious people, see, they are this, they are that, they are that. So one day I told him, if you continue like this, you'll be born as that, in that religion in the next life. Because yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajyati ante kalevaram tam tam eva iti kante sada tad bhava bhavita. Whatever you remember at the time of death, that's what you'll become. So if we unnecessarily expend our energies, our emotions, our inner thoughts on anything of this material world other than the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita or Bhagavad Gita, whatever bodies we inhabit, American, German, English, Indian, if we are too caught up in our conceptions about how things should be, our cultures, these things are just going to, they are hooks to bring us back into this material world. We have to submit to the Acharya, submit to transcendental knowledge and live our lives in deep pursuit of Krishna. Okay, so let's go to the second half of the talk, which is not animated, so it will be easier, I think. Atmanivedanam, I wanted to explore this concept. Offering one's self to Krishna. The word Nivedanam in Sanskrit means to offer something. Atmanivedanam is an interesting word, combination of words. Atma is the self. To offer the self to Krishna. That's what it means, Atmanivedanam. How does one offer the self to Krishna? What does it mean? So this is a difficult concept for me. What I did was I explored some of the verses from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu written by Rupa Goswami on the topic of Atmanivedanam. So let's go to the next slide. Atmanivedanam, as you know, is the ninth of the nine processes of devotional service. Atmanivedanam can be practiced as a sadhana. So sadhana bhakti. What is sadhana bhakti? Anybody here? What is sadhana bhakti? Krishna charanam? Can you define sadhana bhakti? Can you tell me what, how would you know if somebody is practicing sadhana bhakti? So what does the word sadhana mean? Meditation? No. That's dhyana. What is sadhana? Okay, maybe we need a primer on sadhana bhakti. I'll ask this question next time I give the lecture though. So you should be prepared then. So sadhana, the word sadhana means practice. Practice, what does practice mean? We know. So if you want to win at a tennis game, you have to practice tennis. That is your sadhana. You're practice doing sadhana of tennis. Okay. And when you practice tennis playing, you don't do it on your own whimsically. You actually seek out an instructor who is an expert tennis player. And then you try to learn from that tennis player. And that's where your practice becomes useful, actually effective. So sadhana bhakti, now the word bhakti, when we add it, it goes beyond these mundane ideas. So sadhana bhakti, what is bhakti? Can anybody define what bhakti is for me? Students? I know you know these definitions, maybe you're shy. So, I'm going to ask, yes, somebody had a hand up? No. So bhakti, I'm going to ask this question next time we meet also. If you remember this. So bhakti is defined by Rupa Goswami. So anytime anybody asks you what bhakti is, you should be able to answer this in this way. Bhakti means this verse, Anna Vilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavrutam Anukulena Krishnanushilanam Bhakti Ruttama. This is bhakti. The primary characteristics of this definition of bhakti are Anukulena Krishnanushilanam. Swarupa, this is the Swarupa of bhakti. Anukulena is favorably. Krishna. Krishna Anushilanam. So Krishna means Krishna or persons related to Krishna, the Guru, the Vaishnavas. Anushilanam means service. Is this me? So the favorable service directed towards Krishna or his representatives. That is bhakti. Bhakti has two more qualities. Anya abhilashita shunyam. All other desires, personal desires for anything other than bhakti are rejected from this definition. And the other characteristic is jnana karmadi anavritam. This bhakti is not covered by jnana yoga, karma yoga, all these concepts or karma kanda. This is uttam bhakti. Now sadhana bhakti, let's go back to the previous slide. So sadhana bhakti is bhakti that is practiced under the guidance of scripture, where we deliberately subordinate our intelligence and our whimsical ideas to Shastra. We take instruction from scripture, and scripture gives us the different angas of bhakti, beginning with Guru Pada Ashraya, taking shelter of the spiritual master. There is also another two types of bhakti. There are three types of bhakti total. There is sadhana bhakti, then there is bhava bhakti, and there is prema bhakti. So the fruit of sadhana bhakti, if it is practiced properly, is bhava bhakti. And when bhava bhakti becomes mature, it culminates in prema bhakti. Okay? Now this atma nivedanam concept is part of both sadhana bhakti and bhava and prema bhakti. So I'm going to touch on both aspects. So let's go to the sadhana bhakti part first. So first let's see, what is this Atma Nivedanam? How do we understand Atma Nivedanam? I'll go to the English here. This is from Yamunacharya's prayers. This is Rupa Goswami explaining what Atma Nivedanam is. He says, whoever I may be, either a soul inhabiting the body and other material elements, or a deva, or a human body made of the gunas, today I offer that I, in quotes, to your lotus feet. That's Atma Nivedanam. It's interesting how Yamunacharya prays. He doesn't know if he's the soul or if he's the body or if he's the deva. He doesn't know who he is. But it doesn't matter. What he's saying is, whoever that I is, this is inspiring for me personally, whoever that I is, I surrender that to your lotus feet. Let's go next. So some another verse which helps us understand this, offering the body as Atma, this is from the Bhakti Vivek, again Rupa Goswami cites this, just as one does not worry about an animal that has been sold. So if you have an animal and you sell it off, I guess nobody can connect with this, I think, here. Maybe I should skip this analogy. But the point is that, you know, one does not care so much for something that one has given away, correct? That's the essence of this meaning. You give something away, you sold it, let's say. You had an old car or a computer and you sold it. Now it's not yours. So you have no concern for what it is, what it's not, how it's doing. It's none of your business. In the same way, in Atmanivedanam, the devotee sells the body away to Krishna and becomes completely disinterested in the body. There is no interest in its maintenance, feeding it. The body is seen as not relevant, not one's own possession anymore. It's somebody else's possession. It's given away. So this is Atmanivedanam. Very high level of bhakti here. It's difficult to imagine. Okay, let's go next. So now Atmanivedanam is an anga of sadhana bhakti, like I mentioned, but it is very difficult to perform this as part of sadhana. As seen here, Sakya and Atmanivedanam, both are very difficult as part of sadhana. Friendship and offering oneself and body are rare because of the difficulty of execution. However, some wise men have still considered these two as part of sadhana. This is what Rupa Goswami says. Then he says, thus it should be understood that only some rare persons performing sadhana and who are almost siddhas or perfected by sadhana, that means they are on the bhava, close to bhava, prema platform, are qualified for Atmanivedanam and not all sadhakas. That's a tough one for us. For me, sorry. Go next. Now let's look at the Atmanivedanam when it is in prema bhaktas. Like I said, there are three types of bhakti. There is sadhana bhakti, which is under the rules and regulations of scripture. There is bhava bhakti and there is prema bhakti. So Atmanivedanam is also seen in prema bhaktas. And this is why we are talking about it, because Bali Maharaj exemplifies Atmanivedanam. So pure Atmanivedanam is seen in Bali Maharaj when he gave himself to the Lord. He had nothing left. He had given away all his possessions, right? And now Vamandev is saying that you have not fulfilled your promise. I'm going to arrest you. So he arrests him. But then Bali Maharaj is very unhappy that he did not, he was not able to give, fulfill his promise. So then he offers his body. You can put your head on your feet on my head. Now Vamandev is this gigantic person right now. He has covered the entire universe with his body. And Bali Maharaj is asking him, please place your foot on my head. That means what's going to happen to Bali Maharaj, his body? It's going to be finished, right? So that tells you that he doesn't care about his body anymore. He's offered it. Do what you want with my body. That's why it is Atmanivedanam. And this is seen in Bali Maharaj. Now, in understanding Atmanivedanam, this I found useful also. Somehow the font is not showing. I'll bring a PDF next time. Sharanapatti, that's the word. Sharan, taking surrender to the Lord, right, is different from Atmanivedanam. It's not the same. There is a difference in flavor. So Sharanapatti is acceptance of the Lord as one's protector. That's the predominating aspect of it. But Atmanivedanam is making oneself the possession of the Lord. So that's the distinction between the two. Okay, you're just completely surrendering everything. Including your body, so nothing left to surrender. No need for protection because the body is not yours anymore. Next one. So what's the greatness? These are the last two slides and then I'll close. What is the greatness of Bali Maharaj? This is explained here. This Atmanivedan is so powerful. When he gave himself like that, Shukadeva Goswami glorifies him. My dear king, how shall I glorify the character of Bali Maharaj? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of the Three Worlds, who is most compassionate to his own devotee, stands with club in hand at Bali Maharaj's door. So in response, he got Sutala, which is a highly opulent planet. And in Sutala, the doorkeeper is Lord Vishnu. And he's standing there at his door with a club in hand to protect him. Now, there is another instance where Krishna becomes the menial servant to somebody else, Arjuna, as his charioteer in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Mahabharata. Okay, next. Now, Atmanivedan can become mixed with other rasas. These are the last two slides, and we'll stop. Atmanivedanam can be mixed with the emotions of Dasya. This is seen in Ambarish Maharaj. In Ambarish Maharaj, that verse, Savai Manah Krishna Padaravindayo, and so on. Ambarish Maharaj uses every part of his body for serving Krishna, one way or the other. If you remember the verse there, the mind, the senses, everything. So, that is an example of, according to Rupa Goswami, Dasya mixed with Atmanivedanam. Let's go next, because that one's cut off. I'll skip this, go next. And then this is bhava mixed with Atmanivedanam. Sometimes the pure devotees of Krishna get emotions that come out as anubhavas. So this is an example of Rukmini Devi. Bhava mixed with Atmanivedanam. Tanme bhavan khala... Sanskrit is not coming, so I'll just read the English. Therefore, my dear Lord, I have chosen you as my husband, and I surrender myself to you. Please come swiftly, O Almighty One, and make me your wife. Surrender myself, Atma Arpito, that's the word. Atma Arpito, I give my very self to you. So, Rukmini Devi also has Atma Nivedanam in this verse when she prays for Krishna to come and kidnap her, basically, and make him his, make her his wife. So this is bhava mixed with Atmanivedan. Alright, next one. Okay, that's where I'll stop. Sorry if it was a little technical at the end, but are there any comments or questions? No. Okay, so thank you very much. Tagore Premanandi. Thank you.